Bloomberg on the Economy with Mike McKee and Carol Masser. Listen on demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Now available free for both iPhone and Android devices.
You know what? I'm very happy that we're going to have the next guest on this program. This is Mr. Peter Cheer of TF Markets. Now, Peter is incredibly well-known and well-respected by insiders. Peter, tell the public what TF Markets is.
You know, what we are is we're basically an advisory firm with some assets under management, which we're in the process of growing, and we tend to focus on a global macro basis what's going on, but we have a very strong background in credit and fixed income. And I think certainly over the last 5 or 6 years, being able to come from a fixed income and credit background and relay what that means to the global macro space has been very helpful. And I think one of the other areas, and kind of in the subject again, is where we've been helpful is on banks, because understanding credit and fixed income really helps determine how the banks are going to be looking.
So what's your view on investment credit bonds right now?
I think we've kind of run out of steam here. I think we have one of the problems is that almost every retail investor has piled into corporate bonds. It's been a largely very good trade. But one of the things we're running into now is there's some serious pressure on yields in investment grade, and it's coming from the fact that treasuries have been weak. And most investors, although they can talk about spread for investment grade bonds or high yield, own it on a yield basis. So you've seen some of these major bond indices or ETFs underperform because they've been getting dragged down by treasuries. We're seeing a little bit of outflow, so I think we're going to see some weakness there. And we're starting to see huge supply because the banks are starting to issue bonds again. So I think you've kind of got supply coming in. A lot of people have been very aggressive and overpositioned maybe in this market. So I think we'll see a little bit of pressure, and I think that's going to hold down bank stocks and probably the market as a whole for a little bit around here.
Now, you're one of the more closely followed analysts and researchers on Wall Street these days, especially by the smart money crowd. What's your view on what's going on in Spain and Italy, and how might investors move to profit from that?
We've been very positive. And I think if we look at last year was kind of the year of the bond over there. You had Greek bonds do phenomenally well, Irish bonds, Italian and Spanish bonds, not quite as good, but still fairly decent. And now I think what we're going to see is a transition where not only can the bonds do well, but also you can start seeing some of the stock markets do very well. And it really comes down from the fact that the ECB has clearly decided to support Europe. I think people are seeing success. We're seeing spreads come down. That is going to encourage people to invest. And then you have this big problem where everyone's really underweight. Last year, the cool thing to do was tell people that you had avoided Spain, that you had avoided Italy, and that you were being very prudent to be out of that. And now with the returns those countries have been generating, both in bonds and stocks recently, I think people are starting to say, we're underperforming because we're underinvested there. We have to pile in. Those markets are fairly small. I think, for more retail investors, EWI and EWP are two ETFs.
Now, what are EWI and EWP?
EWI is a ETF that basically follows the Italian stock market, and EWP is one that follows the Spanish market or IBEX. They tend to be very bank, heavily weighted on banks, and that's because those stock markets tend to have a overweighting in banks. But again, that suits our theory pretty well, because as these bonds do well, the banks, if we remember correctly, started loading up on those about a year and a half ago as part of the LTRO program. So the banks have been a huge beneficiary of, carry income and now, some safety that's coming from those bonds. So I think they have some capital to, lend out, and we should see decent returns. And with so many people underweight or even short those, I think they can have a very significant pop. And it reminds me a lot of where we were last year in the U.S., where coming into year-end in 2011, no one seemed to want to own U.S. banks, and yet they did phenomenally well last year. So I think we can see that cycle now play out in Europe.
In some ways, the European equity markets look a lot like what the U.S. equity markets did following the first round of quantitative easing and then the subsequent second round of quantitative easing. What are some of the risks there that you're worried about as you look at your own view?
Get worried that in Germany something happens where Merkel has a surprising loss. I think we need Germany to support. I think there is a chance that the situation in France is not as strong as is necessary to carry Europe. So I think they've been struggling there. Some of their new tax code seems to have caused problems for their economy. So I think if Germany loses the will, or France loses the ability, we could see it slip down fairly quickly. So, you know, that's something I'm keeping a close eye on right now.
Now, your other best idea in a recent research note, and if you've read Peter's research notes, they're very accessible, but they are written at a high level. And you talk about you want to be short IG-19. Okay, so explain for our listeners who might not be familiar with this, what is IG-19?
It's a credit derivative index, and it's one of these, I think, where we've been very helpful and we see this opportunity a lot, is you often hear people talk about how credit leads equities, and yet a lot of people who say that don't pay close enough attention to credit. So IG-19 is this index of credit derivatives. It follows 125 U.S. investment-grade companies, and it's, you know, at the tight end of its range, it's down to about 86 basis points. So you would receive 86 basis points if you sell protection or have to pay that if you buy protection. And why we think that's attractive right now is what we're seeing is not only were retail people piling into bonds, you certainly had hedge funds and traditional money managers are all piling in. A lot of it happened in December where there was no supply of new issues, so everyone had cash to put to work. They didn't see the new issue calendar, and most people were betting the fiscal cliff would get resolved. So all of a sudden you have everyone fairly long, some signs of, you know, pressure on the market, supply coming out, and people love using this index as a hedge. So if there's any weakness, that tends to be the first place. And yesterday was a very interesting day because that was actually a little bit wider in spite of the fact that stocks were up 7 to 10 points on the S&P. So that was kind of an unusual signal. Normally you would expect credit spreads to move tighter when the stocks were doing well as part of the risk-on trade. So seeing that yesterday is a little bit of a sign that the fixed income or credit space is overbought and it's susceptible to some weakness.
Now, are you worried about a slowdown in overall consumption due to the resetting of payroll taxes here in the United States? And do you think it's sufficiently priced into this market?
I am a little bit worried about it. I think one of our views has been that on this fiscal cliff, most of the country really didn't care or really didn't pay attention and is actually going to be surprised when they see a lower pay or take-home pay. So I don't think that's been priced in. You know, I don't think it's disastrous, but when I look at the S&P, you know, 1470 seems hard to justify. We kind of think 1400 to 1425 is where we should be given what we're seeing in the economy and the global space. So, yeah, we're, you know, bearish on the U.S. stock market here.
You know, we at the Bloomberg Economic Brief have covered this pretty extensively over the past year, especially the past several months. And one of my concerns, Peter, is that the general liquidity constraint that lower and middle income households face. You know, if you're, you know, you're making $100,000 to $250,000 a year, well, you know, your payroll tax is reset to 6.2%. You're not happy, but you can deal with that. But, you know, down in the lower and the middle income classes, they can't tap home equity because many times their first mortgage is underwater. Credit's still very tight out there. And, of course, the savings rate's been drawn down. So I worry about a greater multiplier effect that causes you know, overall consumption just to grind to near a halt here in this first quarter and even really the first half of the year.
Oh, yeah, I think that's even more aggressive than we are, but we would tend to agree with that. I think it is going to be the people who use their income the most or, you know, actually use it for day-to-day living are going to be most impacted. So while so many people are expecting some sort of pent-up demand to come because of the cliff resolution, I think we're going to see the exact opposite. And, you know, what scares me a little bit and certainly makes me sad is it would not surprise me to see the number of people on food stamps continue to increase.
Yeah, no, that's definitely one of the more grim statistics. And it's interesting, you know, we had Ellen Zentner from Nomura Securities in here this morning, and she was estimating, you know, a 1.5% drag in, from the fiscal restraint. And Michelle Meyer, who formed a view with Ethan Harris over at Bank of America, was telling me 2%, and they've penciled in further restraint from the resolution of the debt ceiling and sequestration fight. So, you know, it could be a very difficult first half. And one of the interesting things I think here, Peter, is that while the housing market's growing, it's just not going to be able to offset that drag this year.
Right, I agree. I think what we've seen on housing has been this nice bit of stability. But it's not like it was back in 2005, 2006, where there was this huge turnover, where people were bidding it up. And I think this is most people sitting around at home and saying, whew, okay, maybe the worst is over, and that they feel somewhat comfortable in their home. But I don't see that it's changing anything dramatically. And when you talk about the fiscal drag, that's on top of, I think, fourth quarter GDP now is getting ratcheted down after this morning's number.
That's right. We're tracking just over 1% on my estimation. So we've slowed significantly.
Yeah, and if we kind of add some more fiscal drag, I think there's just a chance we could see, you know, risk priced down. Again, I just can't get comfortable with the S&P 500 up here. And especially when there's other opportunities where other countries aren't selling at the same sort of multiple, and where, you know, like you say, they're actually further behind us. So Spain and Italy might be more like us in 2009, 2010, where they're just getting those first doses of fixing things.
All right, that's Peter Cheer, founder of TF Market Advisors.
Listen to Bloomberg on the Economy weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013, Bloomberg LP.